everybody, to Primetime Live on Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. It is my honor to welcome back to this studio author Brian Freeman, who is an international best-selling thriller writer. He was also my colleague for a season where you can hear his podcast, True Story with Brian Freeman. He has a new book called The Crooked Street that released and is a Frost Eason book. Welcome back, Brian. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, so am I. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, Pam.
Thank you. You too. And I'm really sorry that you're up there in the chill while we're down here in 75-degree weather.
Rub it in. I know.
Yeah, but, you know, like we were saying in the green room, I can't even wrap my head around the idea that it's 27 below zero at the coldest point where you live. And my goodness, it's, you know, 40 degrees was cold to me, and that was bad enough. However, I didn't turn on the heat. I did have my windows wide open because it was beautiful
out.
Well,
see, now that is impressive. Well, in Minnesota, we have a very easy way of dealing with it. We just stay inside. So.
There you go. Well, so did I. I wasn't going to go outside when it was that cold. I would have had to put on a long sleeve T-shirt with my shorts. So, all right. Go lay down. I have my little cupcake there wants to talk to you. So congratulations on the release of The Crooked Street, your new Frost Eason book. The raves and reviews are amazing, as always. It never surprises me that the book is this popular. I just love it. Let's talk about Frost and what he's up to now.
Yeah, The Crooked Street is the third in the Frost Eason series. And, obviously I have a very mature series with my Duluth hero, Jonathan Stride. There's about 10
right.
books out in that. And it's interesting, you know, the differences between Frost as a character and Stride as a character, because I've been you know, working with Stride for so long. I mean, it's been 15 years now that he and I have
right.
been together, that, you know, Stride is an old friend and he's just always kind of poking me in the ribs to get back on stage. And we sort of finish each other's sentences as author and hero. But, you know, for Frost, it's been a very different experience, because it's sort of like going back in time for me. He's a younger hero. He's in a completely different part of the country in San Francisco. And I've really enjoyed getting to know him in these first three books and kind of watching him take shape as a character on the page. And that's a very different and exciting creative process for me. And so I've really enjoyed it. I write my series can dive in anywhere. So if people want to get to know Frost in The Crooked Street, they certainly can do that. The fact that it's only the third book in the series is such that I always tell people, well, you might as well go back and start with The Nightbird, which was a huge number one Kindle
huge
bestseller.
Hit.
In fact, one of the top 20 Kindle bestsellers in 2017. I followed that book up with The Voice Inside, and now the Crooked Street follows on the heels of The Voice Inside. So three new books with Frost Eason, all based amid the drama and romance of San Francisco. And it's a great place to set and write books. And I love Frost as a character. He's kind of different from a lot of heroes that are out there. He's a little bit of a Boy Scout. He definitely goes his own way. He's kind of connected to the streets of San Francisco. Doesn't really have a lot of friends and colleagues inside the police department itself. And then, of course, there's his cat, Shaq. And everyone
right.
sort of falls in love with Shaq. And Frost has one of the more unique living arrangements in that he technically rents his Russian Hill house from Shaq, his cat.
From the cat,
because
right.
Exactly, yeah, because he found Shaq guarding the body of an older woman who had been murdered, and Shaq sort of adopted him, as cats will do, and he discovered that there was an unusual provision in the woman's estate that allowed whoever adopted Shaq to live in this woman's very elaborate mansion up in Russian Hill in San Francisco for the very California-friendly price of a dollar a year. So that's how Frost and Shaq became the landlord and the tenant.
There you go. And, of course, you and I being cat lovers, it makes perfect sense to us. We understand that completely.
Exactly. And Shaq manages to play a fairly significant role in the books too. So
Yes, he does. Interestingly enough, that's true. You know, I was looking at your Amazon ranking. You've never, ever, I don't think, been higher than 27. Right now you're number 9 in mystery, thriller, and suspense with Assassinations. You're 19 in Serial Killers and 27 in another serial killer thing. It's just amazing to me. Every single book, when I check, you're always like that. You are one of the top authors in the world. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, it's been almost 15 years now that I've been in this business, and you know, from all of your dealings with other authors, what a tough, challenging business this is economically. But it offers so many fringe benefits in terms of the relationships you build and hearing from readers. And there is nothing to compare with the experience when a new book comes out of that flood of emails that you start to get from people that you know, can't wait to get their hands on the new book and have to then get in touch with you and tell you how much you love it. That is just an extraordinary experience for an author.
Well, you know, which leads me to my next question. It's a great segue. I know how dedicated you are to your craft, and I know when you sit down to write, you mean business. You're not taking shortcuts. You're not, you know, skipping days. You're just writing. Yes, you have all these books out already, and you've been a number one New York Times bestselling author. Your books are translated, I think, into 45 different languages or something.
They've been sold in 46 countries and 22 languages, which is
22 languages.
It always has made me. Yeah, you know, one of the I go out on Instagram every now and then just to see what people are posting, and I see, you know, people in Slovakia and Turkey that are posting pictures of my books over there, and I mean, that is just
amazing,
extraordinary. I just love that.
Do you still get kind of a little nervous when you're releasing a book, Brian?
Absolutely. It does not matter how many books you write, how many times you go through this process. Writing is a lonely business, and you spend months sort of on your own with this baby that you're nurturing, and until it's actually out there in the hands of readers, you just don't know how people are going to react. I mean, for me, you know, I'm not going to release a book unless I'm in love with it. You never know. I mean, so there's always that sort of nervousness about, okay, well, what are people going to think about this new book? And so you're definitely a little tense until you start getting those early reactions from people to tell you that they love the book.
So what I want to know is, how do you know when you love a book? How do you know that the story you've written is just as good as you can make it?
You know, when you're reading the book through, I think what you discover is I'm always going through the book multiple times for editing purposes, and you know the book is working if you sort of forget to edit and you just still get sucked up into the story and the characters and you just find yourself reading the book, and if that's the way it affects me, then hopefully the readers will get lost in the story and the characters as well.
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan, and so I love everything you write. To me, it's magnificent. And you even graced me with a book presence down here in Southwest Florida. So, you know, what can I say? We had the opportunity to chat at a Barnes & Noble for the last, Naples, as a matter of fact, for your last book release. And, you know, it's nice and warm down in Florida now. It'd be a great time to do a tour if you wanted
to. That is very true. I was sort of looking longingly at the map last week when those sub-zero temperatures rolled through here.
I bet you were. That's so funny. Will you stay with Frost for a little while? Or, like you mentioned earlier, is Jonathan kind of pulling at your sleeve saying, gimme, I want now?
Well, one of the things I really enjoy is sort of never writing the same book twice. I love to be able to mix it up and introduce new characters and tell different stories. And so I've actually got a number of different projects on the burner right now. I've got another book coming out in the spring. It's actually going to be an audiobook exclusive. It's an Audible original, and it is called It's called The Deep, Deep Snow, and it is it's I think my favorite of everything that I have done. It has a female first-person narration. They've signed on a wonderful audiobook narrator to do the book, and I can't wait to hear what she does with it. It is set in a fictional Upper Midwest town, and it revolves around 10 years. In the life of a female deputy sheriff, and focuses on one particular case. And I just love the book. I can't wait for people to have a chance to listen to it. So that's coming out in the spring. I'm working on a standalone thriller right now set in far northwestern Minnesota. Very interesting, unusual thriller. I'm really excited about it. I'm about 80% of the way through, so I'll probably be wrapping up the first draft of that this month. And then it will be back to Mr. Stride this summer. I'll be writing the next Stride book this summer, which will be called Funeral for a Friend. And so that'll be out in mid 2020.
Now, are we going to hear from Cab anytime soon?
Oh, Cab Bolton. I love Cab Bolton. I wrote two Cab Bolton books. I wrote The Bone House, and then I followed it up with Season of Fear. And it's taken me a little while to get back to Cab in with a full sort of Cab Bolton book, but when I wrote my last Stride novel, Alter Ego, the original plot concept for Alter Ego, I had sort of dabbled with the idea of making it a Cab book, and I decided that it would just fit better for Stride. But as I put the book together, I thought, well, this would seem like the natural book to see if Stride and Cab would actually meet. And so I introduced Cab in that book as a crossover.
Right.
And I had a lot of fun with that. The readers had so much fun watching Cab sort of interact with Stride's world, and particularly with Stride's partner, Maggie. And having done that, it kind of opens the door that, I might choose to bring him back in a future Stride book, or I might, go on and write another, exclusive Cab book as well. It's certainly on my radar screen. It's just a question of when I end up with a sort of a slot of time in which I can get
that. And a storyline that you think is befitting too. When you're talking about this audiobook, you may pop my audio cherry, because I've never listened to an audiobook, and I may have to break down and get this one, because and I did a panel on audiobooks, interestingly enough, and heard from everyone why they like them, the pros and cons of it all. And just darn it, there were not that many cons. And I'm just afraid, Brian, that I'll start up a book and I'll kind of let it become background noise. But my friends who listen to them all the time say that's not true. Do you listen to any of your books on the audio? Have you listened to any of the books?
It's so funny, because I've had the same narrator on all of my other thrillers. A wonderful actor named Joe Barrett has been the voice on all of my other books. And of course, I had to break the bad news to Joe that unless he had a really, really impressive falsetto, he wasn't going to be able to do the Deep, Deep Snow.
Deep.
So, But the funny thing is I get all these wonderful comments from audiobook listeners about Joe's narrations, but I have never had the courage to tell him that I just can't listen to them myself, because I hear my books in my head in a certain way. There's a music to prose, and I deliver it in a certain way in my head and when I'm doing reading. So listening to someone else do my book is very challenging, and so I start listening to it, and I just sort of instinctively go, well, that's not the way it's supposed to sound. So I've never been able to do it. I'm real curious. I want to listen to the audio of The Deep, Deep Snow, because this being an audio original, I would love to hear how it sounds. But I know it is going to be tough for me, because it's not going to be how I hear it in my head.
You know, it's really interesting because sometimes I'll ask writers, do they, when you go on tour, do you read from your book or do you just do a general chat and a Q&A? And I recall you read from your book. You read different places in your book when you were down here.
Yeah.
I like hearing writers read their own work because sometimes the way I think a character sounds is it's illuminating to hear how the character sounds from his creator. And the cadence and the tonality and the timbre of the voice, you know, all of that makes such a big difference to me. And then it's kind of locked in. And I first noticed that when Bob Crace was reading over down here, and he was reading from, you know, an Elvis Cole book. It was just a totally different rhythm than the way I read it. He was just totally different. So I love that. And I know some authors tell me they don't like to read when they go to book signings, but you do, and you have, and you're
I do.
Really
I mean,
good
I,
book reader.
I also, you know, chat and tell jokes and stories, but I always like to give people a little flavor of the book through my voice as well. And, you know, people have said, oh, well, you know, you ought to read your own books on audio editions. And I've thought about doing that, but I mean, ultimately, I think you really need, you know, acting talent to be able to carry it off throughout the whole book. You know, I can take a chapter and I can bring it to life, but you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to voice characters in the way that an actor could. But it is a lot of fun. I think readers enjoy hearing how the book sounds to the author, and for me, I really enjoy doing readings at events. I know that there are some authors that they just hate that. They don't like doing it, and they kind of, I think, want the readers to experience that themselves and not sort of, you know, prejudice them about how it sounds. But yeah, I always love doing readings, when readers hear it, they always want, okay, gosh, I have to go back home now and start right up and continue reading the book.
Yeah. Well, it's all, like I say, it's fun for me. It gives more dimension to the character. If the dialogue is real good, it doesn't matter if it's in, you know, romance, literary fiction, or thrillers. I like to read the dialogue out loud if it's got that snap, you know, where you know who the characters are, and it's not he said, she said. You just know who's talking by the words, their vocabulary. And I love reading that kind of stuff. And I think it does target a different part of your brain. So you're absorbing a book in a different way when you're listening to it or listening to the author read it, or if you're reading it yourself. Don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And a lot of people, interestingly, will go back and forth. You know, they'll read a part of the book and then they'll also have the audio edition and they'll, you know, have the audio edition take over in the middle and kind of go back and forth. I think that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure I could do that. I kind of think I'd have to do it one way or another, but it's an interesting approach.
Yeah. It's I like, though, to be as a reader, to be able to do that. And just the same way as I get something different from reading a Kindle versus reading a print book. So,
yeah,
and I'm not sure why that is. It feels more immersive in the print than it does in Kindle. And I feel like I read faster when I'm on my Kindle versus. And also I can go back. I can turn back pages, you know, put my fingers in the page and say, okay, I'm holding on here so I can remember it for the next part. You know what I'm saying? It's a different reading experience. Yeah. So you're not touring for this book, or you are touring limited?
Limited, you know, when a book comes out in the winter in Minnesota, we typically don't do a lot of events. We literally just got back from Duluth today. We did a couple bookstore events up there, and I was at the wonderful Once Upon a Crime store in Minneapolis on Saturday. So
we've
done a few local bookstores to be able to kind of check in with
Do you mean to tell me did you drag the author's wife around while she's got the sniffles?
I did. Yeah, she had to struggle up to Duluth and back with me, hacking along the whole way. But I made it up to her with a Sammy's pizza last night, and that is our favorite. So.
All right. Well, there you go. Listen, Brian, I'm glad that this book is out. It's fantastic. You know, I think you're the best thing since sliced bread, and I hope that you make a tour down this way again, because we sure did have a great time in Tin Alley when you were here.
Absolutely.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And will I see you at any of the conferences this year? Are you going to Thriller Fest by any chance?
You know, I don't know if I'm going to make it there this year. The summer is shaping up to be an extraordinarily busy writing season. So I suspect I'm going to be
like
hunkered down in my office for most of the summer.
All right. I'm going to have to check in with the author's wife and make sure you're okay and pet those kitty cats for me. Thank you for being with me on Authors on the Air. Tell everyone where they can find you on the web, please.
Absolutely. They can find me at bfreemanbooks.com. That's all one word, bfreemanbooks.com. Or they can head over to Facebook. I'm at facebook.com/bfreemanfans, facebook.com/bfreemanfans. And, of course, they can find Marcia on Facebook as well at facebook.com/theauthorswife. And, of course, she's much more fun than I am.
She's a ton of fun. She's a hoot. With all her little... her little play toys and everything. She's right. And pictures of the cats. With pictures
exactly.
of the cats. Happy New Year and congratulations on the release of The Crooked Street. It's just fantastic. And I'm so glad you came back. I'll be talking to you again soon. I know some of the other hosts want to talk to you. Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Pam.
Thanks, Brian. My love to Marcia. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And thanks for listening to me, folks. Isn't he great? Go get Brian's new book, The Crooked Street. Thanks for being with me, and thank you, Mom and Dad. I'll see you later.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.